Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
以下节目包含成人内容，请在家长指引下收听。欢迎收听文化土豆，我是伊康糯米。今天又是我们每月一次从上个月开始的一个 pop-up 新栏目、所谓的简单慢速英文聊文化土豆在伦敦、筹备开办的一个新书店，它叫 Hoxton Books 的准备工作。那和我们一起聊天的还有书店的另外一个合伙人，上一期节目的嘉宾 Richard。 因为我们是用英文聊天，为了帮助大家的理解，我们还准备了聊天的全部文字记录，大家可以在就是我们这一期节目的文字信息，所谓的 show notes 里面找到。接下来就是这一期节目 A New Hope。 Hi Richard.
Hi Ivan.
Did you listen to the last episode, your first podcast?
Once I could bear to hear myself recorded.
How many times?
Once.
All right. Did you show this to your parents?
Nope.
Your girlfriend?
Nobody. I don't think...
Nobody.
Oh, actually, no. My girlfriend...sent the Culture Potato podcast link to one of her friends just to tell him about, oh, we're doing this bookshop and I'm doing, you know, we're doing this bookshop together. And this is a guy who's like, I don't know, was obsessed, well, obsessed with all sorts of things. But when she knew him, when they were living together, he was obsessed with learning Mandarin. So yeah. She said, oh, here's a podcast for you. It's Richard's friend's podcast. And then she probably sent the list. And maybe further down, he saw...You might have seen, because you did two, three more episodes since. So he might have noticed that one.
Okay.
I don't know if he went there.
Okay, so this week we want to talk about our book choices, you know, as a bookshop, how we choose books. But before we get into all that, can you talk about perhaps the most memorable book you read in 2020?
Well, the book I've chosen for this is probably, it will be Crashed by Adam Tooze, which is a book about the financial crisis of 2008. And it came out in 2018 as a 10-year anniversary. But I finally read it during lockdown. He's a professor of financial history.So there's a lot of data, a lot of material, yet it reads like a thriller.
So it's heading to Netflix then?
Yeah, it could head to Netflix. But I was thinking, it also, didn't you read Too Big to Fail?
Yes, I did.
When it came out, and maybe it's like that as well, although...Because then that, isn't that supposed to be super readable and reads like a thriller and so forth and Netflix material potentially?
Yeah, that's even HBO material, I would say.
Yeah. So yeah, that probably finally getting around to reading that from one economic crisis to a health crisis.
And what is the conclusion? Has anything changed in the 10 years since?
I'm not sure, really. There's a bit of optimism, but I wouldn't hold my breath.
Okay. But personally, in the last 10 years, you know, one of the big actors in the 2008 financial crisis is Jamie Dimon of JP Morgan. And over the last 10 and odd years, I have seen a big transformation in his attitude and to ancertain extent reputation. He has embraced, at least superficially, a lot of the new ideas that was fermenting in the business world. The moving away from maximizing shareholder value to to more of a socialist outlook, to the extent that it is possible, that, you know, the care for society, for employees. I don't know. Does the book talk about this?
No. Not really, less of a thing.
So even if England is still in full lockdown mode, however, in the background, we are busy, you know, compiling lists of books that we're going to order and to fill our shelves. So as the general manager, Richard, can you talk about how you are approaching this, how we are picking our books and how we are presenting it to them, to our customers?
Sure. Looking at the fact that we're somewhat constricted by space and we obviously can't stock every single book that's out there and buy every single genre like you would in, you know, a big bookshop, we're obviously selecting what we like, but also books that people think are relevant, whether they're classic works of literature or authoritative works of nonfiction. And some of these recommendations we're also taking from what we've read in reviews, or whether it's from people discussing books on social media or on podcasts, or even books that public figures recommend.
So in a way, we are mimicking, or we are thinking about how most general readers would come across a book. They might have read it in the newspaper or through word of mouth, or, you know, their favorite YouTubers talking about it. That's the idea, right?
Yeah, and maybe with a certain emphasis on various influencers who recommend books, whether, again, they're newspapers or, you know, traditional book reviewers like the London Review of Books or the Times Literary Supplement, to YouTubers who review books, or public figures who publish lists of books, and so forth.
Cool. I imagine we might even organize our bookshelves according to these influencers who recommend the books. And I know that for this week's program, you have prepared, for example, book lists that, you know,
that's right,
we are working on. Can you briefly introduce the four book lists?
So we got two lists by public figures. Probably none of them need much introduction. One is Bill Gates, the formerly richest man in the world. The other one is Barack Obama, formerly the American president, who periodically publish their lists of books that they've recently read. As it was the end of 2020, they both did a roundup and published the list of books for Christmas. So those are those two lists. And then rather differently, we're going to talk about a radio program, Start the Week, which is a key radio program or podcast from the BBC that talks about books, or that talks to people who have written books and introduces the subject matter. And then one final list will be by a YouTuber who presents and reviews various works of fiction which could be considered classics, 20th century classics, or even, you know, even cult classic books.
What's the name of this YouTuber?
His YouTube channel is Better Than Food, and he's a man named Clifford Lee Sargent. And he seems to periodically move about America. I think the latest count, he was in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, so let's dive into these four very different and hopefully interesting book lists to give our audience the flavor. Let's start with Bill Gates. I imagine he's a tech guy, and since he left Microsoft, he's running a globally powerful foundation. He's also at the center of some of the most topical conspiracy theories around. It's no laughing matter, but what kind of books has Bill Gates chosen in 2020?
Yeah, sure. So he's got five books. They're all nonfiction, all on different topics. One you could say is somewhat related to Black Lives Matter. It's called The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration in the Age of Color Blindness by Michelle Alexander. Jim Crow being the laws, the racial segregation laws that used to apply in the American Deep South. Another title is Range, Why Generalists Triumph in a Specialized World by David Epstein. Then we got The Splendid and the Vile, A Saga of Churchill, Family and Defiance During the Blitz by Eric Larson. The Spy and the Traitor, The Greatest Espionage Story of the Cold War by Ben McIntyre. And then finally, we have Breath from Salt, A Deadly Genetic Disease, A New Era in Science, and the Patients and Families Who Changed Medicine by Bijal Trivedi. So these are the five books. So one of them, The Splendid and the Vile of Saga of Churchill, Family and Defiance During the Blitz by Eric Larson, which is set at in 1940-1942 when London and other cities in Britain were bombed by the German Air Force. I think he ties this in to sort of how people experience the Blitz in a kind of parallel way to how people are experiencing lockdown due to COVID.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as he says, the fear and the anxiety they felt, even if probably the Blitz was a lot more frightening than even COVID.
Yeah.
Then we got the book about generalists, Range, Where Generalists Triumph in a Specialized World, where he argues companies do better off employing people who have more breadth than having too many people who are focused on a very narrow subject. For instance, I think Roger Federer seems to be the author's big example of how he started playing several sports before really becoming a big tennis star.
Mm-hmm.
Breath from Salt, A Deadly Genetic Disease, A New Era in Science, and The Patients and Families Who Changed Medicine. Sorry, the subject matter of this book is a pet project of his in that it's about research into cystic fibrosis, which is something he's been involved in. A message of hope, I suppose. Is there any would appeal to you?
Not really. No. Not at all. Perhaps the Ben McIntyre book on The Spy and the Traitor, but in a way I would just Google and Wikipedia, you know, the spy's name and read right. All about it, you know. But one interesting I would say is I think Bill Gates is a massively respected figure in the tech world and beyond, and he's someone, a nerd turned humanitarian. And sometimes we imagine nerds or people in Silicon Valley to be reading about coding, about big trends in the industry, and or about future, right? Like about gurus' books about the future. But I think really the best minds in tech, like the best minds in business, they really have a very wide range of appetites in their reading. And I think this list illustrates that quite well.
Yeah.
Especially if he's in the business of giving money out to solve the world's problems, he needs to understand the world's problems and the context in which they arise and the underlying mechanisms, or just to understand the world better and deeper. And I think this, yeah, I would say it's a good list. Personally, it's not my interest for lockdown reading. Yeah. But
that's very fair, Bill Gates. Yeah. It's...
But then let's move to a somewhat perhaps different. It's a very different person, you know, by no means a nerd. So it's President Obama. What has he been reading?
Maybe the first thing we should say about Obama is that he's got his new book out, which has done very well. And he sees himself as very much a man of letters, somebody who likes his books. He's seriously into, he's always been into reading.
A thoughtful person, perhaps.
A thoughtful person, yeah. And he, looking at his list, we won't go through the whole thing. There are many more titles than Bill Gates, 15, let's say. A mix of fiction and non-fiction. A lot of them, I'd say, probably very, for an American president, very American-centric. A lot to do with the American experience, whether it's fictionalized or not. So there's a Chinese-American perspective story. There's, you know, South Asian-American. There's obviously an Afro-American. That kind of drive. Otherwise, there are more, say, more straight non-fiction in to do again with. There's one, it looks interesting, Caste, The Origins of Our Discontents by Isabel Wilkerson,
mm-hmm.
where she constructs a sort of social and racial, describes a social and racial system in America and alludes it or uses the caste system in India as well as Nazi Germany to describe, yeah, sociological and racial differences in America. There's even a debut on here, fiction about, again, I think it's Luster by Raven Leilani, which I think is had some good reviews, some high praise, about a young Afro-American woman in New York, again, in the midst of all that's going on at the moment politically. Yeah, there's also a thing about Latino or Latinx Americans, and this is a work of nonfiction, somebody who's surveyed undocumented Americans, which is the yeah. title of the book, The Undocumented Americans, by Carla Cornejo Villavicencio. Aside from that, there's also a book about The Twilight of Democracy, The Failure of Politics, and The Parting of Friends by Anna Applebaum.
I have this book. Anne Applebaum.
Oh, maybe I miswrote it. I don't know. We can double check that.
Because she's the famous author wrote about the gulags in Russia. Yeah, and she's like the only conservative columnist in the New York Times for a while, I think.
All right.
I want to pick out something that you mentioned, what people call, in quotation mark, the American experience.
Yeah.
You know, it's about, for example, the C. Pam Zhang's How Much of These Hills is Gold. I know that she's a immigrant. She's part of an immigrant family from Beijing. But this is a fiction. I think it goes back in history. It's about how a Chinese yeah. family during the gold rush, right?
That's right.
And there are, as you say, the undocumented Americans. So it's about searching for a better life, dealing with the inequalities in America, and about pursuing the American dream, I suppose.
Yeah.
Considering Obama's political background and racial background, I'm not criticizing Bill Gates, but Bill Gates doesn't talk about, maybe these issues are too controversial. I don't know.
Yeah, well, he had the Michelle Alexander book. Obama, on the other hand, doesn't have much science or anything to, you know, in that kind of realm. He's also got the Splendid and the Vile, the saga of Churchill, family and defiance during the Blitz by Eric Larson. So Bill Gates and Obama cross over on that book.
Yeah.
What else was I going to say? Oh, yeah, there's one book which is set in Hawaii.
Oh, right.
Yeah, which obviously follows his own upbringing there. And that is Sharks in the Time of Saviors by Kawhi Strong Washburn.
Interesting name.
Yeah, but Kawhi sounds like my idea of somebody from Hawaii, but I don't know.
Right, not Japan, okay.
I don't know. Kawhi, oh yeah, there's that as well, yeah, exactly. I'm not sure what else to add. It seems like a very sort of American president's list, sort of. Except now, having said that, I'm thinking if Trump had to do a book list, it looked nothing like this.
I think Trump is reading Legal Defense for Dummies.
Yeah.
how to appeal in the Supreme Court. Anyway, let's move on. You prepared another two lists that's coming from the podcast YouTube universe. Can you, shall we start with Start of the Week? You mentioned it's a BBC program. Can you talk about what kind of podcast this is?
Yes, so this is probably a key program for books on the BBC. I mean, it's every Monday at 9 a.m. in the morning after they've done the whole breakfast news kind of show. Hence, it's called Start the Week. And it's used to be presented by Andrew Marr, and now he rotates with other presenters. He's a journalist himself, and he picks every week a number of guests who talk about a subject matter, or they talk about different subject matters, and often, not always, but often, they've written a book which ties into the subject under discussion. A lot of the time he has academics and journalists, so we're looking at more non-fiction. However, occasionally he also has fiction writers, probably the biggest names. Like recently he had Bernhard Schlink and Margaret Atwood.
Given it's a weekly program, so you know their list is quite long. So even for 2020, we may have dozens of books. Can you pick out a few that are quite representative of the kind of issues the program is interested in? And
yes.
I would just add that Andrew Marr made an honorable appearance on Culture Potato in our episode talking about Maoism. That was a paid-for program, Unpacked Maoism, A Global History. In that episode, when Andrew Marr was a student, he was a committed communist fanatic, and he wrote during the Cultural Revolution to the Chinese embassy in London requesting a free case of Mao's Little Red Books to share with his
oh my gosh
fellow students.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, give us some notable books.
He had a book where they talked about sort of farming and nature.
Yeah.
Really? And one of the books on there was a book called Entangled Life by Merlin Sheldrake. And this is about fungi. This band was just talking about the
Mushrooms.
Different mushrooms and what they can teach us. Something else we've had, so maybe more in conjunction with Black Lives Matter, he had the biography of a Haitian revolutionary of the 19th century, Black Spartacus, The Life of Toussaint Louverture by Sudhir Hazare Singh, and in conversation with Olivette Otelli, who's written a book called Africans, Europeans, An Untold History.
Interesting. I see on the list, there's a title called China's Good War by Rana Mitter. Which war is this about?
Rana Mitter previously wrote about the Second World War, China in the Second World War.
I think I know. Yes, yes. This is about how the West often forgets about China's...
It's China and the Global Order.
So it seems that this... And I see that there's a new translation of the Aeneid. It's in a way quite a European or British list that, you know, there's a title called English Pastoral. That's the farming book about mushroom and about these, you know, like gardening,
the artful
farming.
Dickens.
There's a book. Is there a book by Virginia
Woolf?
There's
a book on Hitler.
And even, you know, classic study is like a very British thing as well. Yeah, so Start of the Week strikes me as, compared to the other two, definitely more UK. Not, I wouldn't say UK centric, but definitely the taste is
definitely broader than Barack Obama. Yeah, most definitely. You could say, yeah, this is what sort of thinking people or, you know, educated people in Britain might be likely to read is going to be on here.
Yeah, let's go to the last list. This is a YouTuber you mentioned called Better Than Food. The channel is?
The channel is Better Than Food by, as he says, his host, Clifford Lee Sargent. So this I came to having read, I'd been actually, somebody had told me so a while back to read Georges Bataille's Story of the Eye, which I don't know if you've read.
No, I have not read any of his books.
It's very short. When it came out, it was probably a shocking story, shocking thing to write. I found it very intriguing and I wanted to find out more. And somehow ended up on YouTube and came across this person talking about how he wanted to adapt it into a film, which I thought was completely crazy, was bonkers. I don't think you got anywhere with that, but essentially I found his channel. He at least talked about Story of the Eye and gave me his insights, which I thought were interesting. His premise is that, you know, in a lifetime, how many books is one going to read, especially if you just, you know, stick to fiction. And so he has this measure, is the book better than food?
Oh, I see. Right.
So you see, one needs food to survive.
Yeah.
So the measure is the book better than food? So at the end, he might say better than food, or he might just say better than food. I don't think so. Some of the titles are maybe more obscure. So some of the titles are maybe famous, either forgotten, books are a bit more forgotten or not necessarily known in the English-speaking world, because that's another thing he has for somebody, let's say, who's an English speaker. He's got a lot of books on there that are in that he's reading in translation in English. And that's unusual because, you know, the English-speaking book world can be quite narrow-minded. Always think about, you know, when they announce the Nobel Prize for Literature, usually nobody in this country's heard of who the winner is. Yes, and so I think a lot of these books are kind of, you could say 20th century classics, maybe some of them you could say are cult classics, the sort of book that not necessarily, like, they're sort of liked by, you know, people in the know, as it were.
Can you give us some examples of these cult classics?
But even the Georges Bataille Story of the Eye, I'd say, is a good, you know, is
what is this story about?
I think that's another podcast entirely. Let's not go there. In a way, you could say the Story of the Eye, the best thing to sum it up, I was thinking about it just now, you could say it's like a book form of a Salvador Dali painting. And even, you know, you think of, like, what's that film he made? The slicing eyeballs.
Un Chien Andalou.
Yeah, Chien Andalou. Yeah, it ties into that whole kind of milieu. And Bataille was at first...
Strange and disgusting.
Part of the Surrealists. Yeah, strange and disgusting. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the things that probably the obvious ones would be things like Jack Kerouac on the Road. What's it? Blood Meridian. There's a few. Mishima, Confessions of a Mask. Fight Club, Chuck Palahniuk. That would probably be like at least a recent cult book.
Which one's that? Sorry?
Fight Club, Palahniuk, which was turned into that film. In the late 90s. So a lot of these books as well, they link. So he might say, like, there's L'Outre-Amont, Les Chants de Maldoror, which might, again, you'd say that's cult in the sense that that's a book that inspired a lot of people on the list. Like, say, Georges Bataille, yeah, like most of the Surrealists, but might not necessarily be known if you hadn't read these authors or knew much about these Surrealist writers. So he kind of goes up the kind of, what's it called? The sort of family tree of literature in a way.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about from, like, you know, when we have his collection in the bookshop, like, who are they for? And could you say his list is a pretentious list?
Yeah, maybe you could say it's a bit pretentious. I think the pretension here is really to just, yeah, to try and read things that actually matter or they're going to leave an impression on you.
Yeah.
And again, they also the cult aspect is important because also, you know, if you want to be part of, you know, of a club, as it were, of a cult,
yeah,
and, you know what certain people, what books certain people have read, you know, this is a way of, yeah, getting in there.
Yeah.
I don't know how to sort of explain, but maybe perhaps the sort of people who are a bit arty, because, you know, like artists always, I like to reference like great authors or even more obscure authors. Like, there's also, you know, there's a certain kind of cachet about like referencing very, very obscure and niche artists of all sorts, whether writers or others.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, this list is an arty list, pretentious slash arty list in a good way, in that these are authors who are trying, who in, you know, in their time, they were trying to do new things and
yes,
trying to...
experimental.
Yeah, they're not
in
trying
one
to
way or another
write a popular novel. I think none of these were written thinking, let's write a book to make money.
Exactly. And I mean, and some of these writers remain pretty obscure.
So that concludes our four lists as examples of how we pick our books. And the very last item before the end of the program is, you know, like word of the month, or just to introduce a fun English word to our listeners.
Well, I just used 5 minutes ago is the word bonkers.
Oh, right.
Essentially means crazy. And it's spelled
B-O-N-K-E-R-S.
There we are. If something's bonkers, it's crazy. It boggles the mind.
And is that the same as bananas, no?
Oh, that's true, yeah. Bananas. It's completely bananas. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, two words. Bonkers,
two words.
And bananas.
But bonkers, so,
bananas. Exactly the same as the bananas that you eat. I don't know why. Do people think bananas are crazy?
But usually you say going bananas, don't you?
Yeah. Why is that, I wonder? Maybe we should find out. Bananas are bonkers. Okay. Alrighty. That's another interesting word. Alrighty.
Alrighty.
Alrighty. This is the second program talking about book lists in Hoxton Books. Our bookshop is still not open yet. Thanks for bearing up with us.
Thank you.
Okay. Cheers.
Bye.
Bye. 希望你喜欢这期节目。下周是我们误读会的时间，一起阅读的书目是勒卡雷 John le Carré 的《荣誉学生》The Honorable Schoolboy， 这是他 George Smiley 三部曲的一部分，故事发生在香港，相信很多对谍战小说有兴趣的朋友会喜欢。文化土豆是一档靠听众赞助制作的播客节目，你可以在我们的官网成为赞助人后收听会员专享的非虚构分享系列 Unpack，收到主播的会员通讯阅读土豆小报。我也想拜托大家向身边的朋友推荐文化土豆，扩大我们的听众人数。我们的官网是 culturepotato.com。